Greetings, everyone, and welcome back to our Standing Watch program. The mass murder in Colorado during the midnight showing of the newest Batman movie has shocked the world. And many questions have been raised, questions such as, could it have been prevented, or can we do something to prevent it in the future? Pointed questions were raised, issues were addressed, but not too many solutions were given. In fact, I haven't seen hardly any solution pointing out what the real crux of the matter is. Now, I'd like to read to you from a few articles I found amongst the hundreds, if not thousands, of articles, which I thought belonged to the category of the better ones. Here's an article by the Washington Post, dated July 20, and it was published by the entire board of the Washington Post addressing the discussion of gun control, saying this: "There is no rational basis for allowing ordinary Americans to purchase assault rifles." Yes, the Second Amendment protects a citizen's right to own a gun, but it does not preclude reasonable regulation for public safety. We don't expect this massacre to lead to more sensible laws. We understand the politics. Still, it is disappointing that the president doesn't couple his words of comfort with some reminder of the common sense regulation that could make such tragedies less common. The politics of guns will never shift if people are too dispirited even to join the argument. U.S. gun laws make no sense. Now here's an article by the USA Today from July 22 stating certain things along the same line, saying gun control strict enough to stop every shooting is a fantasy. Americans are fiercely devoted to their right to keep and bear arms, and the Supreme Court has upheld that right. The notion that the authorities could somehow confiscate the millions of guns in private hands in the United States is a delusion. But that doesn't mean there is nothing to be done. Americans do support bans on assault weapons and large capacity magazines, which have figured in mass shootings and were part of this one. The Los Angeles Times pointed out why apparently nothing is being done regarding stricter gun controls, stating on July 20, "It has become an article of faith among Democrats that Al Gore lost the White House in 2000 because of his support for gun control. The president, President Obama, has not signed a single piece of major gun control legislation, nor has Congress given him the opportunity. Mitt Romney, the presidential challenger, will certainly not do anything to agitate the Second Amendment crowd. As governor of Massachusetts, he backed an assault weapons ban and a waiting period to buy firearms. As a presidential candidate, he has backpedaled from those heresies ever since." CNN asked a pointed question on July 21, and the question was, can we learn from Australia? It stated that in Australia, after a crazed gunman killed 35 people in Tasmania in 1996, interesting developments occurred. The Australian federal government persuaded all states and territories to implement tough new gun control laws. The effect was that both gun suicides and homicides fell. Importantly, while there were 13 mass shootings in Australia during the period of 1979 to 1996, there have been none in the 16 years since. The then Prime Minister, John Howard, stated that the whole scheme is designed to reduce the number of guns in the community and make Australia a safer place to live. Of course, the Australian gun control law in 1997 enjoyed an extremely high level of public support and was not hampered by any domestic gun industry, since Australia didn't have any. In the wake of another tragic massacre of innocent lives, we should take and look carefully at the Australian experience to see if the American public will ever rise up as one against gun violence And that is part of the issue we must address. Will we ever receive a heart, a mind, which tells us that something is wrong with how we are approaching things? You see, General Douglas MacArthur made a very pointed statement in his famous speech in 1951 when he said, and I quote, "The problem basically is theological and involves an improvement of human character. It must be of the spirit if we are to save the flesh." But unfortunately, the reaction in the United States has been quite different than the one in Australia. The New York Post and also the magazine of USA Today reported on July 25 that gun sales are up now after the massacre. It says that in Colorado, it's up to about 43%. In other parts of the country, in certain cities and areas, it's up to 300% a day after this massacre. Now, Newsmax stated on July 22 that Mike Huckabee, the former Arkansas governor and presidential candidate, said that the shooting is impossible to understand, except that we live in a world where there is evil. We simply don't know why any person would reach deep enough into the forces of darkness to decide to kill innocent people simply watching a movie. Huckabee said that 1 million innocent and unborn babies die in their mothers' wombs each year by elective abortions, and we pay scant attention to that. Ultimately, Huckabee concluded, what we have is a sin problem. And since we ordered God out of our schools and communities, the military, public conversations, we really shouldn't act so surprised when all hell breaks loose. Now, that is an interesting statement. It's a statement which bears consideration. I have written an editorial for our weekly update, which I like to read to you right now. Now, many have written their editorials, so I thought I write my own, and I hope I give some solutions based on the Bible. The editorial is titled, "Violence No More?" And this is what I wrote. The mass murder in Colorado has shown again the incredible acts of senseless and demonic violence of which man is capable. Questions are asked as to whether gun control would have prevented a mentally disturbed man to carry out his horrendous crimes, and whether the increase in violence, especially in movies and video games, has been responsible for raising indifferent and uncaring children and young adults who have become willing to strike out against a fellow man and a quote-unquote socially unjust society. These are clearly important questions to consider, and political correctness of leading politicians, motivating them not to be motivated to address these hot potatoes, sheds further gloomy clouds on the very dark age in which we are living. Some ask the question as to why God lets these kinds of diabolic actions happen, and whether sin may have anything to do with it. This strikes closer to home. We must understand once and for all that this is not God's world. Rather, it is Satan, the god of the present evil age, who is deceiving mankind to sin. He is the destroyer, intent to do whatever he can to bring havoc and destruction on indifferent and willfully ignorant people who become easy targets for the evil prince of darkness and his wicked cohorts. Our fascination with guns and violence will not contribute to the end of the misuse of guns and violent conduct. It will not create a better world. What is needed is a change of heart, how we think, and for what we stand. In the famous millennial passage of Isaiah 2, verses 2 to 4, we read about a new world which will be so different from what we are confronted with today. Satan will have no more influence over unsuspecting and gullible people. Instead, God's law will be taught. The consequence will be unparalleled in human history and truly earth-shaking. And I quote, They shall beat their swords into plowshares, their spears into pruning hooks. Nation shall not lift up sword against nation, neither shall they learn war anymore. Their minds will be receptive to God's way of life. God's law will be in their heart, as Isaiah 51 verse 7 tells us. They will walk in God's statutes and do them, according to Ezekiel chapter 11, verses 19 and 20. They will learn to live peaceably with their neighbor and with other nations. They will finally realize that committing violence against our fellow man will only bring destruction. Peter thought that he had to use his sword and strike the high priest's servant to prevent the illegal arrest of Jesus Christ in the Garden of Gethsemane. But Christ told him, and you may want to read this in Matthew chapter 26 and verse 52, put your sword in its place, for all who take the sword will perish by the sword. Psalm 140 verse 1 takes on quite a stern meaning when viewed in this context. It says, let evil hunt the violent man to overthrow him. When God's law of love is in our hearts, and love does do no harm to his neighbor, as you read in Romans chapter 13 and verse 10, then we wouldn't even think of using a gun or a knife or any other weapon against someone else. We wouldn't even think of resorting to violence against another human being. God hates those who love violence. Psalm 12 verse 5 says this. And he tells us in Isaiah chapter 60 and verse 18, violence shall no longer be heard in your land. That is when Jesus Christ has returned to rule this earth. We cannot change this world today. And as long as Satan rules, and until Jesus Christ returns, violence, mass murders, senseless killings, universal wars will continue. But we are to come out of this world and make ourselves ready for the peaceful world tomorrow. Are we doing this? Thank you very much for listening. This is Norbert Link for the Standing Watch program.